The words of God given to us today are Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. It is page 312 in the New Testament. The words given to us today are Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. Allow me to read the words. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. 2019 has begun. May all our members' families and workplaces be filled with the grace of the Lord during this year too. The slavery that the children of Egypt had to endure in Egypt, children of Israel had to endure in Egypt, required continuous hard labor. It was a tough life. So they cried out, and God heard their cries. And God remembered that it was time to make the promises that he made with the ancestors of Israelites, Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph, and made them leave Egypt and head towards Canaan. God's purpose in listening to the cries of Israelites was not simply in freeing them from slavery. Exodus was not the purpose, sole purpose, but making them become holy people who resemble God. And so what God allowed them to make was a tabernacle. In the Bible, tabernacle is called by various names. Most often it is referred to as a tent, because outwardly it was a tent facility which could be moved from a place to place. It was also called the tent of the evidence for the reason that the stone tablet of the Ten Commandments was there. Moreover, because God met the children of Israelites there, it was also called the tent of the meeting. In addition to these names, it was also called a holy place, a house of God. The total size of this tabernacle was 100 cubits from east to west and 50 cubits from north to south. One cubit is approximately as long as the distance between the elbow to the ends of one's fingers, about 45.6 centimeters. Therefore, the tabernacle was about 45.6 meters from east to west and about 22.8 meters from north to south. Its total area was about 1,040 square meters. In terms of pyeong, which is a measurement in Korea for area, it's about 315 pyeong. The main building of our church and the first annex building and the small annex, which has a dining room for volunteers, are about 300 pyeong in total. The place where God dwelled was about this size. At the time of Exodus, over 600,000 men who were the heads of household left Egypt, and most probably had families. And there were other miscellaneous groups of people who left with Israelites at the time of Exodus. So the number of people who left Egypt was probably at least 2 million in number. But even so, the house of God was 315 pyeong, including the yards. At the tabernacle, there were two very important areas. The outer area, which is called the holy place, and the inner area, which is called the Holy of the Holies. The length and the width of these two areas were 30 cubits by 10 cubits, which is about 13.68 meters times the 4.56 meters, or approximately 62.4 square meters. In terms of pyeong, it was about 18.9 pyeong. God met people at such a place. God created the world, but he said he would dwell in the narrow place and meet people. When I attended a theological seminary, I lived in a dormitory. Now, once I graduated, I didn't have a place to live. There were so many houses within the Seoul City and the surrounding areas, but I had no place to go. So I rented a small room without a window with two of my seminary classmates and lived with them for over a year. Now God made the universe, so he is bigger than the universe. But the house that God commanded to be built for him was merely 315 pyeong. And the place where he met people was only 19 pyeong. And actually, the place where the high priest went to meet God as a representative of the children of Israel was the inner area of the tabernacle, the Holy of the Holies. And the size of that place was 10 cubits wide and 10 cubits long, about 20.8 square meters or 6.3 pyeong. When I thought about this, the one room where I lived felt like a palace. Although at times we may feel that our lives are hard and difficult, it gives us such courage to think how God, who is bigger than the universe, came to a space of mere 18.9 pyeong to meet with people. Moreover, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is an eternal being, came into a finite reality. And when you think about how he was born in a manger, it gives us great encouragement. The temple came to be when the house of God, which was movable, became a fixture. The temple building was built three times. The first temple was built during the time of King Solomon, so it was called the Temple of Solomon. And this temple was destroyed completely when South Judah came to a ruin in 586. The second temple is called the Temple of Zerubbabel because it was built by Jewish people after they returned from Babylonian captivity under the guidance of Zerubbabel. Now, this temple, too, became destroyed by General Poppius of Rome. The third temple is called the Temple of Herod, and it was built by King Herod, an Idumean and the ruler over Jewish people, and was built to gain their favor, and it was built for 82 years, from 9 BC to 63 AD. But this temple also, in 70 AD, a mere 7 years after its completion, was destroyed by General Titus of Rome. Today, only a part of the western wall remains in Jerusalem, and it is called the Wailing Wall. When Jesus saw the Temple of Herod being built, he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again 3 days." When Jewish people heard this, they said, "This temple has been built for 46 years. How could you destroy it and build it again in 3 days?" and did not understand what Jesus was saying. The disciples were no different in terms of not understanding what Jesus had meant. It was only after the resurrection of Jesus that they came to understand the temple Jesus spoke about was Jesus' body. After Jesus called his body, which was to live again as the temple, the age of temple as a building was finished. We no longer call the building a temple, but a worship place, a place of worship. After the end of the temple, after the end of the time when temples was a building, the Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20 testify as to what should now be called a temple. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. When a name is given to a building, more often than not, the name is determined based on the who are within the building rather than according to its size, shape, or materials which were used to build the building. We call a building where doctors, nurses, and patients are inside as a hospital. And we call a building in which there are students and teachers a school. At the time of Jesus, there was the most magnificent building in Jerusalem. Within it, there were priests who were to live holy lives. And they were to be people who did not trust themselves but trust God. They were to serve as a chain that connected people when they came to offer sacrifice or worship to God. But they profited from illegal gains in exchange of money for currency used at the temple. They realized ridiculous profits by selling animals used for sacrifices and forcefully took away people's possessions. People call that magnificent building as a temple, but Jesus called it the den of robbers, because they were not priests, and they were more like robbers. Because there is a Holy Spirit within us, Jesus says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he also says that it does not belong to us. However, we continue to stubbornly shake our heads and repeat, as in a repeating refrain of a theme song, "My life belongs to me. My life belongs to me, and I can take care of all things." It is only after passing through a valley of tears and a valley of disappointments and despair that we change our tune to, "Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know." So the purpose of our lives is not glory to the self, but glory to God. This is living in step with the Lord, who is our master, and this is the way to cultivate our lives to become temples. Now today's text speaks of yet another temple. It's in verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. We were initially Gentiles who did not know God. Therefore, we were people who were in Adam, outside of Christ, and were not people of the covenant. We used to think that once we died, that was the end of everything. But we became people who are close to God because Jesus Christ died on the cross in our place and brought down the wall that existed between God and us. So we are no longer Gentiles and became people of God, members of God's family, God's children. And Apostle Paul also tells us that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. This foundation that he's talking about is the words of God, words of Jesus Christ, who died in our place on the cross to give us eternal life. And the text also says that Jesus Christ became a cornerstone. A cornerstone is a large stone placed at the place where the two walls meet perpendicularly. It not only serves as foundation of the entire building, but also it serves as a marking in constructing the building. So for us, we are being built up as temples, and Jesus Christ serves as the eternal foundation and, moreover, the eternal standards, the marking. Now, this is from verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The text tells us that each of us is a temple and we are joined together in Christ. If you were to explain what this means by maybe illustrating it in a picture, it would be like this. If each of us is a brick in the shape of the temple, each of us become stacked up together to make a larger temple. In other words, if we're individually a temple, the building that we make together is a united temple. And this united temple is called a holy house. Now, we know very well that the word holy in the Bible means to be separate from. The width or the height of a temple is not important. Neither is the shape or its materials. It is also not important what goods are inside it. This temple is a place that is separate from the world. Eternal values rather than secular values are followed. Success or fame in the world is not the goal. God and the kingdom of God are the goals. Therefore, always one seeks the will of God and obeys the words of God. Now, this is verse 22. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The text says that the house of God that we are being built into will become a temple, which is distinctive, but also it will become a place of God's dwelling. Now, this building can never be a temple just by us living in there. If we only live there, it will be a house of man and not a house of God. Now, let's assume that there are parents who have 10 children and that they must decide to live with one of their children. And it would be a great honor for the child if the parents chose to live with him or her. Now, which child would the parents want to live with? Will they choose to live with the first, the second child, no matter what? Maybe it may have been that way long ago, but not anymore. Then would it be the house of a child who lives in the largest apartment? Or a house of a child who earns the most salary? Or the house of a child who studied a lot and have a lot of knowledge? Or the house of a child who achieved highest social status? Probably none of the above. The parents would probably want to live with a child who respects them genuinely and is obedient, and with whom the parents are most at home. It would be okay, even if the child's house is not the biggest or richest. Even if they cannot afford 3 meals a day and can only get by with 2 meals a day, parents would want to stay in the house of a child that they're most comfortable with. Now, God also wants to live among us. He does not care about whether we have a lot or little, whether we are high up in society or low, or what our life stations are like. Regardless of these things, God wants us to be the persons who respect God and are obedient to God's words. Now, the motto for our church for this year, 2019, and is being built up together. The reason that we have to be built together is because, as verse 21 tells us, we are joined together. Being built together is made up of 3 words, but in the original Greek text, it is made up of a single word in Greek. And the word emphasizes that we must be built together. And if you were to make a 1-meter-high water container, all woods used to make the container must be 1 meter high. We can only make the container we want when we have these woods that are in that length. If among the wood pieces, one wood is 70 centimeters or 50 centimeters long, we can only contain water up to 70 centimeters or 50 centimeters. It is only when the container is made with wood pieces that are all 1 meter in length that the 1-meter container can be made. Now, in order to be anointed as minister after graduating from a seminary, a student must pass an examination. Although the subject matter of the test varies slightly from one denomination to another, mostly the test topics consist of sermons, logical reasoning, the Bible, the knowledge of the Bible, the history of the church, and the constitution of the church. And one must receive a passing grade for each subject. If one does not earn sufficient grade for a subject, then even if one passes all other subjects with a perfect score, the student does not earn the qualification, and he or she must take the examination that he or she failed. All grades must come together in order for the student to pass. Now, there are many areas that our church must be built together. The pastoral staff and the members of the church will be built together. As the pastoral staff and the members willingly take on self-denial and willingly become the lower branches for others, our church will mature day by day. The adult members, the young members, and the students of the church school, the next generation, will be built together. So long as we build together, our church will become a more faithful church, a more beautiful church, a more holy church after 10 years, after 20 years, and serve as the hands and feet of the Lord who can be used by Him. The 100th Anniversary Memorial Church and the Korean Church will be built together. We will do our utmost to meet our calling to serve as the pathmaker for the Korean Church as we go forward to its bicentennial. And 100th Anniversary Memorial Church and our Korean Society will be built together. By doing so, we'll resolve various conflicts that exist in our society today and add what little help that we can give to cultivate a society where diverse people can live together in harmony. And more than anything, please pray that four of us who have started the co-pastorship will be built together. And together with our church, the Korean Church and the Korean Society. We desire that the co-pastorship will serve as a good model, a signpost for the Korean Church and the Korean Society. But we know very well that being built together cannot be done based on our abilities alone. Therefore, the text tells us that we have been placed on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament. We have not come to realize the gospel on our own or sought out the foundation of that gospel and stood on it. God called us with grace, allowed us to stand on the foundation of the words. And in order to make us stand firmly, Jesus Christ, who is the eternal rock, became our cornerstone. Moreover, in Christ, each of us who are buildings that are becoming joined have become a temple in the Lord, and in the Holy Spirit becomes a place where God dwells and are built up together in Jesus. So long as we are within the Lord, within the Holy Spirit, we will be built together because there is the one who builds us. In the same way that a building which is being under construction changes for the better every day towards completion, that we are being built means that we are becoming more mature today than yesterday. And it also means that today is more new than yesterday. In order for this to become true, we must daily throw away whatever that makes us stay stuck in immaturity. As long as immaturity is not thrown away, maturity does not come to us. And maturity can only continue when we part with wrongful old habits, the things that make us use up our lives without meaning. When can we greet a true new year, a true new day? A new year does not come simply by changing the calendar. It does not come because we greet the dawn from some high mountaintop. If we are not in the process of being built up, today that we greet will not be a new day, but only a continuation of yesterday. And this year will not be a new year, but a continuation of the old year. 2019 has started, but our relationship with North Korea is still uncertain. And the nationalism of the United States, of China, Japan, Russia, and other power countries that put their interests first will continue. And the economic indicators of various kinds in our nation will continue to cause people to feel insecure and be worried. And it may be the case that people's feeling of loss, deprivation, and oppression may become stronger. But no matter how difficult 2019 feels, how chaotic it may feel from time to time, so long as we are being built together in the Lord, we can cultivate a new year and a new day. And as much as we are being built together, we will greet the new year and the new day. May we be blessed so that each of our days in 2019 will be built together so that every day is a new day and a new year. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for trusting us who are full of faults and are pathetic and giving us yet another new year, 2019. We particularly thank you for giving us the motto, being built together, to our church this year. Help us not to forget that each of us is a temple. No matter where we are, whatever we do, allow us to live a life that is separate from the world and cultivate our lives as places where God dwells. And thank you for reminding us that we are parts of the united building which has been joined together. Help us not to forget that we are bodies that serve Jesus Christ, who is our head. And so may we become an organic whole who receives the grace of being built together. May our pastoral staff and our lay members be built together. May the adult members and the young members and the members of our church school come to be built together. May we receive the grace of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church and the Korean Church, our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church and the Korean Society become built together. And most of all, may the four co-pastors be built together so that the co-pastorship will come to serve as a signpost for the future of the Korean Church and the Korean Society. In the same way that a building, as it is built, becomes more beautiful to behold every day, may all of us become more holy and faithful as we are built together in the Lord. And by each of us becoming new every day, may each of our days become a new day and a new year. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.